action in 3, 2, 1, action. Well, this is a bit random, this one. Hey everyone, I'm Sue Ellen from Live Sail Die, and as you can see, we're not in the studio at the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron in the Crow's Nest. We're actually in a Toyota Hilux cruising down State Highway 1, and I've got Jibe Mark Joey Allen here with me. Two hands on the wheel, safety first, but we're coming at you for a very special edition of the Andu Bird's Eye View podcast, Live Sail Die podcast. Joey, it's just you and me. Barbara's at home. Darcy's doing who knows what. It's great to be here.
It's so good getting away from those two, isn't it? Like Barbara nagging us to bits, demanding this, that Olympic energy.
She just wants to talk about Olympics and winging and windsurfing.
It wears thin after a while, to be honest.
It really does. But hey, we're actually...
Hey, what about Darcy?
Oh, well, Darcy just... His job is to talk shit all day.
Yeah, but he needs to do some rum racing, that guy.
He really does. Darcy, you need to come yacht racing. We need to teach you a few things. But we are on the penultimate day, and for those that don't know what that word means, the second to last day of the Toyota Kiwi Cup Tour. We've gone from Auckland all the way down to Invercargill and Dunedin, and we've just actually finished at our most northern point, Kerikeri. We were at Kerikeri Cruising Club last night, Kerikeri High School this morning. Now we're on our way to Warkworth. But we thought we'd bring you a special edition of Bird's Eye View and to get some real behind the scenes America's Cup stories. The Toyota Kiwi Cup Tour is an event that has taken the America's Cup, the actual America's Cup, the whole way around the country to showcase the trophy before it actually heads off to Barcelona. This guy here, kind of a big deal. He's won it twice, but he's won it from the sewer, on the bow and at the top of a rig of the American. Tell us about the boats that you sailed on, Joey.
Well, they're dinosaurs now, for sure. But, I love the time we had in the Cup, a very different time to today. But, oh my God, we just had such a blast sailing with the best guys in the country at that time. And I love them all dearly, but it was just such a fantastic time. And yeah, we've seen some nice, big, healthy smiles on this trip, and it's brought back some amazing memories.
So when you got off the plane after you won in 95, and then you were escorted straight to, the police car.
He's in a hurry.
You were escorted off the plane straight to the ticker tape parade in Queen Street. You've told a few little stories about that and the emotion around that. Just give us a rundown.
Yeah, it was a time when communication was a fax machine. I've said this many times, and we were working hard, doing our job, and sailing every day, just mistake-free sailing, and just trying to perfect what we did. And we had absolutely no idea of the excitement that was building in our land at home. And when we arrived at the bottom of Queen Street in Toyota Hiluxes, funnily enough, as we are now,
32 years. Sponsor.
Amazing sponsor. And seeing and hearing the noise of that ticker tape parade is something that will haunt me forever in a beautiful way. It was freaky, and it's funny today, seeing those smiles and the excitement that the crap creates in a crowd, it brought it back. It brought me back to that ticker tape parade memory.
It's been pretty cool. Like, we've done, originally on this tour, we had scheduled for 40 stops. We're now at over 60 locations that we've gone to. But I mean, the schools have been amazing. And you saw your first school this morning, Kerikeri High School.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just like a group of kids coming up and standing in front of the cup. Imagine that sensation of 1,300 students at Mount Aspiring College.
Yeah.
On the South Island in one photo, and we get them all to scream out, "Just send it," which is a message that we're sending to Emirates Team New Zealand from New Zealand, from here all the way over there, to let them know that even though the event is in Barcelona, and as much as it does break our hearts that it's over there, the support for the team is still so real. The thing that you noticed is the passion for what that trophy represents.
Yeah. The passion, and I think what's happening now with the new cup, the excitement, the danger, the speeds, is you see it's igniting people's excitement. And yeah, different event to my day, but it's exciting.
I tell you what, now I want to hear some stories, Joey, because back in your day, like you said, there was fax machines, so there was no photo, like no camera phones, no social media. You could just be absolute larrikins. So tell us one of the stories from the deep, dark depths of your memory. Well, if you can remember them after being so pissed all the time.
We had a rule. The rule, we did things differently. And what we would do is we were a dry base camp. We were dry until the end of each round robin. And then, and this came from Sir Peter Blake. He would say, guys, we've got to celebrate the end with a few drinks. A few drinks is probably
it. Technically speaking, is three. How many multiples of three?
A few drinks. Anyway, what we'd do is we'd do the round robin, and no matter what the result, we would let our hair down, what hair we had, and we'd have a little bit of a blowout, you know. And Blakey had a rule. He said, guys, if anyone's got an issue, you can come into my office at any time. That door is always open, and we will discuss the issue. Well, what happened, we'd had this massive, massive blowout, and he was asleep in his office against the door, and I came in to check on him.
To stop everyone getting in.
I came in just to check on him, and he just yelled out from the floor, the door's effing closed.
So the door's always open, except when it's convenient.
Yeah. But what a great man, and oh my God, he led us well, and we miss him dearly.
Yeah. Hey, one thing I've noticed is, like, so we're over this tour, we've actually had about 30 odd different people helping us out from the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron, and you've come on to the last 3 days. I tell you what, you've got some fans out there. I think one lady fell in love with you yesterday.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem my wife's had to deal with all her life. Yeah, for sure.
She actually, like, she couldn't leave your side, this one woman. She wanted a photo with you. But it's not just that, it's the kids. The kids know who you are.
Yeah, because...
Are you a celebrity?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Look, I was a very small part of an amazing bunch of guys, and...
Don't downgrade it, please. Nah. Because at the end of the day, if that spinnaker didn't go up, it would have all been over. So you're actually kind of a big deal.
Maybe.
Kind of a big deal. Now, I want to know something. I've just been in the car with you from Auckland up to Kerikeri. Now we're heading to Warkworth. This brand new vehicle doesn't smell like a new vehicle anymore. Tell us what the stench was like in the sewer of those boats.
Yeah, it wasn't a very pleasant place. It was the conversation was with Jeremy Scandalbury and in 2000 with my mate, with Barry Mackay, and the communication was through a hole. It was like a 75 mil hole that rope would pass through. So your only communication in the outside world was his voice. And the conversations were very, very stressful. Normally, when they had an opportunity to discuss with how I was going down below, the conversation would be something like, how are you going down there, mate? Have you got it packed? What do you effing think? No, it's not packed. How long have I got? Oh, you've got a minute and a half, or you've got 2 minutes. So the stress was ridiculous, but it was a job that just, you had to get it done, because that sail that you were packing was either going to be used again, or it was a backup, which you definitely needed if we failed and got a rip in the sail. So it was a very, very stressful job that nobody saw, no one cared about. And I'll be honest with you, my mother saw more of the America's Cup on TV than I did. You know, it's just...
And like that's kind of similar to this tour. Like, I mean, you've seen... Okay. As of now, pretty much, I've published over 3,200 photos of people. But we estimate that we've actually... Jeez, that was a big rock that just hit the windscreen. No cracks. good Toyota windscreens there. And so, yeah, published around 3,200 photos. But we reckon that we've actually engaged with over 20,000 people, because some of the photos, like I said, Mount Aspiring College, 1,300 kids. Westlake Boys, just under 3,000 students.
Wow.
And then Plymouthton School was intense. Like, they had this amazing hall with the, like, a grandstand. Are you going to overtake this truck?
Not now. I will now.
Lucky that the Hilux has got good maneuverability. Okay, thank you, Mr. Truck. But we reckon we've reached over 20,000 odd people. But every time we go to a stopover, as we're calling them, turn your blinker off.
Jesus, you're like my wife.
Every time we go to a stopover, I then get in the car, download the photos, start editing them on the fly, so that by the time we get to the next location, I'm ready to go. So I've had my head down the whole time. Apparently New Zealand is a very beautiful country to travel around, but I've seen nothing. And that's kind of similar to you. You competed in two America's Cups, but you probably saw nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you see a little bit on the runs because you're on deck, but look, my time's gone. It's moved on. It's a way more exciting period that we're going through now. And yeah.
Tell me about what you think of the Youth America's Cup.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. And we've got some good boys there. We got good boys there. The girls are amazing.
And we've got
Verl
on the youth team. Don't forget Verl Ten Hav just went to the Olympics.
Yep. No, very excited to watch that. And it's a fantastic opportunity for them, and I'm sure they're taking it very, very seriously.
We need to get past this truck.
Jesus.
Because, like, this is another uphill battle. The Hilux, we're travelling with two hybrid Hiluxes and a hybrid Highlander, and the convoy that we've had has been awesome. I tell you what, probably my best moment, I'm talking about one of my best moments here. Driving the three Toyotas through the Crown Range when it was snowing during the day was stunning. Turn your blinker off again. Come on, Joe, I know you can dig deeper. Come on, give me another story. We're amongst friends. It's only you and me.
Yep.
No one's here. No one else is listening.
Yep.
Dig deep to one of the stories.
From when?
Whenever you want. Actually, tell me the two guys that rang you the other night.
Oh, yeah, I've had a bit of hate mail. A couple of guys who
come
are...
Come on, mention their names. No one else is here.
They're up in Barcelona, you know...
Richard Meacham and Ray Davies, we're about to talk about you.
Yeah. No, we've got, you know, it's amazing having the connection with the team still. Like, you know, that obviously I've got some very, very good mates up there, and just hearing their energy and the excitement in their voices as they prepare that team for war, it really makes you proud to still have that connection with the team.
They're giving you a bit of shit though about the podcast, aren't they?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, they're desperate to get on the podcast, but...
Do you reckon that we should give them a guest appearance?
No, they're not. Well, we'll see how they go. If they go right, we might.
Yeah, I mean, if they win,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, might, maybe, but obviously there's a fee, you know. They have to pay.
There's an appearance fee to be on Bird's Eye View. And I just want to do a shout out to Andrew. Andrew Feel Good, where you can buy all of your furniture, appliances, everything that you need to get a house set up or to upgrade. You can buy it all online. And thank you a huge amount to Andrew for coming on board to sponsor the craziness that is the Bird's Eye View Live, Sell, Die podcast. I just sounded like Darcy.
Yeah, it's a bit better, I thought.
I think you need to do that whole little cutaway, you know, because you've got to tell the story. Why are we here? What are we doing? Well, we are here on the road, thanks to Toyota for the Toyota Kiwi Cup Tour. We're seriously on a chicane right now. We're driving down a mountain.
It's the Bryn Derwent.
Bryn Derwent. It's open. Still a bit of roadworks though. For locals that understand that, this is a stretch of road that's been a bit punished over the last few years.
With our crazy weather.
So yeah, we've had snow, we've had hail, we've had sunshine, we've had gales, we've had everything to make for a solid America's Cup Regatta racing. Joey, tell us what you think about the AC75, Team New Zealand's boat. Do you think it's going to perform? Do you think that they've got what it takes?
Yeah, I have full confidence in our guys. I love the fact that the team's being steered by current foiling people who are right at the forefront of foiling, like Pete Moth, world champion, you know, I Olympic star. He ticks all the boxes. And
And we've replaced one great Australian, Glenn Ashby, with another great Australian, Nathan Outeridge.
Yeah.
Who is a surrogate.
100%.
Kiwi.
And you know, Nathan, I think, is, from what I'm hearing through the comms, I think he's made a huge difference. And I think the boat, communication wise, is way, way better than it was in Auckland, to be honest. I think Nathan's made a big difference. No disrespect to Glenn, he's a dear friend of mine. We roomed with the Ashbys in San Fran and lived through that whole story.
I first met Glenn Ashby on the Clarence River in the late 80s, early 90s when he was racing tornadoes.
Yep, and New Zealand owes a great lot to Glenn and what he gave and what he brought to the team, because man, oh man, he in that San Fran Cup, Glenn was an absolute superstar and got us to where we got to. Like it or loathe it, New Zealand can thank Glenn Ashby.
Absolutely. He's a good man. He's a quasi, a Kiwi Aussie.
Yeah, he's, unfortunately, those two boys have been Kiwi-ized.
They have been Kiwi-ized. Yeah. When you've been here long enough, you kind of, you do take on the Kiwi persona, even though you still get shit for being an
Aussie. And the other, while we're talking about it, let's throw our good mate Adam Bischel in there. Another great Aussie boy that fitted perfectly into the Kiwi culture.
Well, it's actually his young boy who's going to be coming up through the ranks.
Yep.
Better sail than he will be.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll man, Adam is one of the great, great yachties.
Yep. Joey, the emotion around the America's Cup. So you told me what you thought of the cup. Come on. Do you reckon it's the real cup that we've got travelling around the country?
I honestly cannot believe that it is. I still believe it's a fake, but I'm told it's not.
It is 100% real. And one of the most regular questions that we're asked, a few of the regular questions, is this the real cup? Yes, we can guarantee it is the real cup. One guy actually said, I do not believe that this is a real cup, because in the first part of the tour, we had a bit of a younger team. He goes, you guys are way too young to be taking such a priceless trophy around New Zealand. I said, I will take that compliment.
Yeah.
The other thing as well is that the other questions we get asked is this the one that got smashed up? Well, yes, it is. And we show people where it is that it got smashed up. Where is Australia 2 engraved from 1983? And I love the fact that it's right on the front of the cup. Where is New Zealand's last engraving? And we show that as well. Where is the original engraving? Because the America's Cup was originally called the...
Guinness Cup.
100 Guinness
Cup. 100 Guinness
Cup.
You
really need to
I'm not that old. I'm not that old. Yeah, I'm not 100 and...
You're nearly 80.
I know, yeah.
And the other one as well is, you know, where is the original one? And we always have to explain to people that the cup is always photographed in a certain position, and that's because the first engraving is front and centre. There's a lot of history with the old mug. And it's definitely seen some interesting times. Was it crazy?
The other thing is the tour. Everybody has got their story.
Yeah.
And some of them are, you know.
Oh, tell the story that you heard at Kirikiri Cruising Club from that couple.
Yeah. Here's a good one. So there were. It wasn't a couple. It was four people. I think they were all connected. An elderly couple. Saying they're in Wellington in 95, and I can remember the night actually, and I
really?
Can
I
can understand why this situation arose, but they said they were in a hotel and they found the America's Cup unattended. Someone's going to get into trouble. I hope it's not.
It's 95.
Normal.
It's old.
I
news.
Hope it's not normal. But anyway, they sat by it and babysat it for 4 hours. Until a very distraught guard came back and quietly got it. So they guarded the cup until someone turned up to pick it up.
That is nuts, because we've been instructed that we are not allowed to let the America's Cup out of our sight. So it's in its travel case, right now, in the back of the in the back of the vehicle. Not this vehicle, the other vehicle. Is it this vehicle? Could be this vehicle. We don't know. We could be a decoy. But we're not allowed. It's not allowed out of our sight. To the point where at breakfast this morning, we rock up, bit of a presence, and we bring in this massive, big traveling suitcase. And we joke to say, oh yeah, it's just our dead body that we can't get rid of. But a lady today at the cafe, she knew exactly what it was, didn't she? She was pretty stoked.
We
couldn't get it out this morning because we were on a bit of a schedule. So all she wanted was a photo.
With the box.
With the travel case. And that's the kind of thing that we've been seeing. So the one thing that we kind of gave ourselves a heads up for is, look, there are a lot of disgruntled fans or former fans out there who are upset that the Cup's not in Auckland. I mean, me personally, I would absolutely love to have the Cup in Auckland again, because last time it was just it was intense. And even though we were in that COVID period, we all managed to push that aside and just really enjoy the moment of being amongst our friends and our peers and our sailing mates and just enjoying it. It does suck that it's not in Auckland, we get that. But out of all the places that we have been, all the locations, and the over 20 odd thousand people we've engaged with, we've had not one person give any kind of anger or animosity or anything towards the event, the trophy, the team, or where it's going. And the amount of people that have said, oh, are you going to Barcelona? And we're like, yeah, heading over. Great, we'll see you there. The squadron has over 500 members. That's a quarter of its, just under a quarter of its membership.
Yeah.
Are traveling over to watch Emirates Team New Zealand.
I've got a very vivid memory of in Valencia, looking out as the boat would tow down that canal to get out of the harbour, out of the port, and the sea of New Zealand flags. And every day as we progressed through the Louis Vuitton final against Jimmy Spittle, if that's not an advert for our country, that sea of those beautiful flags, honestly, it haunts me how powerful that message is to get so many flags of one nation flying. And it was
pretty
special. And you're in the middle of Europe, you know, flying the New Zealand flag. It's a fantastic advert, you know.
It's raining now, Joey. You need to drive to the conditions, please. Precious cargo
on board.
You
sound like my wife.
Precious cargo on board, and I'm not talking about me.
Hey, can we do a quick surf check?
We could do a quick surf check, but it's not on schedule. It's not on the schedule, and there's no surfboard here, and it's raining. You can't surf in the rain.
Yeah, you're right.
You might get wet.
Yep.
The other thing as well that's been really cool on this tour is the memorabilia that people are bringing in, like postcards and like little miniature America's Cup.
What about the lady with the America's Cup earrings?
The America's Cup earrings, yes, but then there was another lady that had a brooch made, a custom brooch. The red socks, we're still seeing the red socks. We're still seeing the, you know, in Crazy We Believe. We're still seeing like lean with us, like the lean in shirts. We're seeing all of that stuff. And, you know, regardless if you're a sailor or just a passionate fan, the one thing about New Zealand that I reckon it has over any other country is the pure depth of passion.
Yeah. And the stories, because the association with it is now, what, 40 years? We've
35.
Damn near owned that thing. You know, we've had good ownership of it now for a long time. So people are telling us about their memories as an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old. And now they've got receding hairlines.
Well, and what about the guy that called us before, Hamish Williams, who told us that the reason that he's doing what he's doing today is because of the moment that he saw Peter Blake look in his eyes during the ticker tape parade in 95.
Yeah, that was a cool, that was an amazing ticker tape parade. The one in Dunedin really stood out.
That was the Dunedin one.
Haunting.
It's a
how
shame
cool
that
was.
It's a shame that we won't be able to do
look
anything
this,
like
look
that.
This, look at this, look at this.
Ready, rain. Your driving, Joey, is actually pretty good. You've improved since we got in the car yesterday.
Tell my wife.
When we got into the Toyota Hilux yesterday, Joey had to push the seat up a fair bit. We've had to... Yep, there we go. So as we said, we are on the road. We're currently heading to Warkworth. Our next stop is Warkworth School. There's apparently a bunch of kids that are super excited for us to get there, that the school did call up and said, would you mind coming a little bit earlier? It's absolutely bucketing down. I really hope the school visit's not outside. Do you want to know what happens to the America's Cup when it gets rain on it and then goes back in its case?
No, what does happen?
It turns white.
Really? Why would that be?
It requires a hell of a lot of polishing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. One of the other key moments for me as a photographer was, you know, how can you actually get creative with taking photos of a trophy? And we were I had this planned for a number of days. And after Wanaka Yacht Club and to get back to Queenstown where we were staying, thanks to a cool hotels, we had to drive back over the Crown Range. And for those that don't know, the Crown Range in the south of the country, beautiful bit of road, but it does get closed quite often because of the amount of snow that you have there. Anyway, I thought, right, I want to get a shot in the dark, in the snow, with all three of our Toyota vehicles shining the lights onto the trophy.
Oh, is that? Oh, cool.
Shining the lights on the trophy at the top of the Crown Range, on that landing at the top before you head back down. And I'd visualized it and I'm like, I want that, because I don't know. We did a Google search and we could not find any other photos of the cup in the snow. So if you're out there and you do believe there is a photo of the America's Cup in the snow, please let me know. And whilst it wasn't snowing at the moment that we actually got the shot, you see the snow and you see the darkness behind and the trophy is just lit up. And it, honestly, it was amazing. And we came out with the line, America's Cup lit by Toyota New Zealand. Is that, that's tacky, isn't it?
Little bit. Toyota Lumens.
But it was really cool because, you know, the amount of times I've taken a photo of people standing in front, next to the cup and in front of the media wall. It's like, we need to make it different.
How many photos have you taken now, do you reckon? To date, to now?
I don't think I could even tell you the amount.
Have a guess.
Published around 3,200. But like I said earlier, remember that one photo had 1,200 students in it.
Yeah, right.
Just one photo.
One photo, wow.
So the reach has been awesome.
Yeah.
But Joey, back to the America's Cup. We've got 31 minutes until we get to our destination. You're currently driving at 92 kilometres an hour.
Yep.
Do believe that the speed limit is 100, but
what,
you are
you
driving
to
the conditions.
Do you want me to run over that guy?
He's
20
so
feet
far
in front
ahead,
of
you can't even see him. Your depth of field is shot to shit, seriously. Tell me another America's Cup story that we may not have heard. You've had some doozies.
I've got one that's... So in 95, we do rig checks. We go up and we check the rig. And the two guys that did the rig checks was myself, who knows nothing about rigs. I'm a builder. You know, if there's timber and floor joists, I know a little bit about it. But I would do a rig check, and Murray Jones, who knew a lot more than me, he would do a rig check. And basically, both of us would do a rig check every day. And one day he said, have you seen it? And I think, oh, this is a typical captain test, you know, like this is a test.
Have you seen it?
Have you seen it? And I'm thinking, I know the rig pretty well. I've looked at every, you know, I think I said, do you mean the spider? And he goes, oh, yeah, right. Now, he had seen the same thing I'd seen. There was a spider had been living in the top of the mast for the whole of the, I noticed it at the beginning of the Louis Vuitton.
What year was this?
This is 95.
95.
And it lived in it was a little web and it lived in the top of the mast where you go up and put the main halyard on, Oh, that's another story.
You don't even know.
We didn't even have a main halyard. We used to lift the mainsail up with a spinnaker halyard, and then we'd bring it over the top. Anyway, you could see the spider living there, and Murray had picked up on it, and he used it as the test, thinking that he'd found a crack that I hadn't seen, you know. And I said to him, what are we going to do? And he said, we're going to leave it there, mate. No, that's its home. We're going to, you know, it's not a problem. Leave the spider in there, and it's got a pretty good view of the racing, you know. So what happened is we'd get through the next round robin and the next round robin, and then we'd get into the, you know, the semis, and then we got to the Louis Vuitton final. And we had a day that's probably the most talked about day is when Australia had a bad race and the boat broke and they lost their yacht. Well, it was sad for us too, because that day the spider couldn't hang on. And in that violent sea state, the spider, I think it's still going upwards. It got flicked out of the top of the mast. And, yeah.
Do you reckon the spider was lucky?
Well, it had a great life while it was up there, but it would have been a violent day that it got flicked out of the rig, because there was some seriously heinous sea state that day.
The spider.
Yeah, so that's, there's one for you. Keep
it's
that.
A little creepy.
Yeah.
And what else about, like, the personalities and the people that you were involved with?
Look, the one thing, God, I sound like I am an old man, but, you know, the one thing, there was a lot of humour on that boat. And Russell, I think, led a lot of it.
Really? Russell Coates?
Yeah, no.
Really?
No, he would say, okay, God, like every day he'd nominate, because you've done so many, what he would do is we'd be working away, and then getting, prepping for the race, doing all your checks. And then Ross would say, righto guys, sit down for 5 minutes, and I want a speech, a crew talk, and I don't want it to be anything to do with yachting. So you can do a rugby speech, you know. Like basically, for 15 minutes, we're not going to talk yachting, you know. And it was like a reset. It worked. It was just a little tool that he'd devised. And
it's quite nice to
you
have
know what
a
I
reset.
Mean?
Like oh,
a,
I
like
totally
a,
get
like
it.
Like a full reset. Just sit down, get the weight off your legs, turn your brain off for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't believe Russell had the intelligence to come up with this, but he did, you know.
Is he a good guy to race with?
Oh, he's hard. He's hard and he's demanding and he looks at things very differently than most people do, but that's a long
story. All right, okay. Trick
so
question.
Anyway.
Trick question. Sailing with Russell, sailing with Peter Black.
Awesome. But bring your A game every day. Bring your A game every day,
that
for
was
sure.
Some nice
overtaking. Hey, you've interrupted me.
That was some nice overtaking skills there.
Yeah. You just said, what were we talking about before that? Oh, the crew. So we're having these 15-minute resets. And it was Andrew Taylor's turn. Who, what happened was, he started talking and it was rhyming. Every sentence finished in a rhyming word. And I remember Brad Butterworth interrupted him and said, mate, shut the F up.
Meat, red meat.
Yeah, meat, raw meat.
Raw meat, sorry.
We want a speech, we don't want an effing poem. You know? And the whole crew just rolled around the deck. You know, it was like that, it was
he was serenading
you. It was
you.
Just the freaking good guys, good men.
And these are guys that you still sail with today as well.
Unfortunately, we do. Yeah, we do. We still race at a... I mean, a lot of those guys are still at the forefront. You know, Murray, Brad. Look at Brad.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at Warwick. You know, Roscoe, Halcrow,
Meaty. But you guys really are that... legendary celebrities of New Zealand sailing, whether you believe it or not, or whether you accept it or
they
not.
They wouldn't have a bar of it.
But you are, though, like the amount of people who look up to you. And like when I introduced you as, hey, this is Joey Allen, you know, America's Cup winning bowman in 95 and 2000, the expression on people's face were like, oh my God, this is someone who's been allowed to touch this trophy with their bare hands. Mm. And they're just in awe of you. So yeah. I think you guys do play a really important part in New Zealand yachting history. I mean, yeah, sure, we've got Blake, we've got Russell Coates, we've got, you know, all of those old-time legends. But then you guys, who weren't on the helm,
yeah,
who were actually the muscle making everything look, happen. I mean, you've got a few little
goosebumps.
Nuggets of muscle.
Yeah,
there.
Like honestly, like, you know, the Maddie Masons and those stories of, you know, Maddie was a bully. Everyone was different. Mm. Everyone brought, you know, everybody brought something to the table above the, on top of the yachting skills. Like Simon Daubney, you know, it was intensity.
Good man.
You know, intensity. Andrew Taylor, it was stubborn concentration.
I had the privilege of sailing with Andrew Taylor on one of the classic M classes for the 100th anniversary. And those main sheets are hard to pull on. Mm. And this guy literally wrapped it around in his pinky finger and pulled it on without even pulling a sweat.
He's got big muscles, but he's also got massive ears. His ears are like an elephant.
Well, I think that's why we went fast.
He hears everything, that guy. You know, massive ears. But look, Andrew, Craig Monk, grinder, right? Olympic medal in his back pocket, you know, Olympic Finn medal in his back pocket at a very young age. And, you know, they bought, you know, Craig Monk, how much confidence does he bring? How much energy does he bring?
Oh, he's amazing. You know, I first met him at Hamilton Island Race Week when I was racing on blackjack with him. And I remember, I mean, even though I grew up in Australia, the New Zealand sailors from Team New Zealand were the ones that we learnt about, because we didn't have a team to look up to.
Yeah.
So we had to look up to our neighbours.
You go through, you know, you've got Tom Sneckenberg with this beautiful man with a massive brain, spending years and years of his life with the most stupid, unintelligent yachtsman. You know, can you imagine the conversation? Well, like I can remember Simon Daubney saying to Sneckenberg, do you pick your scabs off and eat them?
That's disgusting.
That's Simon. And Snack would, as a matter of fact, I do. But this is a guy who should be running the nation.
Wow.
You know, and Warwick Fleury with that just a massive smile. Mm. Huge, big, not a lot of conversation, but just a big smile. And what's one happy man? I mean, I'll go through, who haven't I? Battler.
Battler has my heart. He really does.
The Battler.
He really does.
See, I sailed around the world with Robbie, and
he's a good man. He's always smiling.
He's
always makes me feel like he's up to something.
He's always in trouble, the Battler.
Always up to something. Yeah.
No, but one of the, they were all stars. I mean, the whole, they were all, who have I missed out?
Well,
Dino.
Oh, I mean, come on, Dean.
Oh, Dino.
Dean Barker.
No, Dean Phipps.
Oh, you're talking about Dean Phipps. Oh, okay, we'll come back to Dean Barker. Dean Phipps.
Dino was like top of his game, Bowman.
So what's he doing now?
He lives in Auckland. I sail with him occasionally. Warwick, Dino and I will get together and sail. Warwick built this little rocket ship, 22-foot yacht, which is his little jewel, you know, and Dino and I will go and sail with him, but I got to be honest, Warwick's yelling at us to stop laughing. You know, we just can't stop laughing.
But I do want to have a shout out to Dean Barker.
Dino.
Like, Dean Barker, look, if you're listening to this, you're a freaking legend. We love you, man. What you are currently doing for junior sailing in New Zealand is outstanding. Commodore of Murray's Bay Sailing Club. Your son, you know, Matthias won the Optimus Nationals, and the way that they accepted that was so humbling. Like, it was such a beautiful moment to witness. But
can I talk a little bit about Dino? Like, to me, Dino.
Of course you can. You know him better than I do.
Look, Dino was the crash test dummy pilot on that AC-72. People have no idea of how dangerous those guys on that catamaran. Mm. They should be applauded in the streets.
Well, I mean, it,
when you look at where it's got to now.
But it's unfortunately, it claimed a life as well, remember?
Yep, it did. It was a time when our sport was being sped up at the acceleration was incredible.
We were watching evolution in real time.
Exactly right. And, you know, like, I'm very, very proud to have been associated with that team. The result wasn't the result that the nation wanted, but Dino dragged that boat.
Yeah.
Because at times it was a heinous thing to steer. And,
maybe it was a result we needed to reset.
Maybe.
I think
they moved a lot of people out and the team rebuilt and took a, you know, the team that went from that took a lot of people from that team, some good people.
Because remember, you know, Dalton was on board sailing.
Yep.
You know, it was time for him to get off the boat, let's reset.
Yep.
Let's think about what we want to do 100%. Moving forward.
Yep. Yep.
But Dean, you know, what he's doing for sailing in New Zealand, encouraging the next generation. Mm. So this Toyota Kiwi Cup
Let me interrupt you for the first time.
Well, you're driving, so interrupt me all you want.
I have a very good memory of when we lost the cup in 2013, someone said to me, what's one of your proudest moments in my involvement with Team New Zealand? And it was when we came ashore from losing that brutal race in San Fran, and looking at the guys as they got out of their helmets and took their, you know, their jackets off, and there was a bit of smashed furniture and a bit of stuff got smashed, and there were a few beer bottles got whipped, but there were no tears. And I just felt I was in the room of greatness, because all of those guys, they gave that everything they had, and I've just never been prouder to witness how fantastic that crew was. You know, they're very much part of the story, part of the history, but they're the least talked about. And man, those guys were freaking cool Kiwi boys, you know, except Glenn, he was a cool Kiwi Aussie.
Quasi.
But they were special, special men. And they're not, you know, we're blessed to have them in our presence.
Well, just part of this Toyota Kiwi Cup event as a whole, it originally started as a raffle. And through that raffle, with the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron and the event, the Kiwi Cup, we've actually raised over $53,000 for grassroots sailing in New Zealand. From there, it morphed into I'm trying to remember, did it come, the tour come first or the regatta came first? No, the tour came first, and then we came up with that idea, let's do a tour. How are we going to, you know, get a selection of where we're going to go? And then we had all of the clubs put in nominations and expressions of interest to be part of the regatta, and a reward of being part of the regatta was then getting the tour to visit your yacht club. And then the yacht club got to select the school that we would visit. And then obviously we went to a bunch of Toyota stores as well, because they were sponsoring. But one thing that I had so much respect for Dean is that he could have put his boy onto the Murray's Bay team, but he knew that they needed the best team because they have a good chance of winning this. And Dean selected sailors who he thought from the yacht club, a mix of boys and girls, who could represent that yacht club to the best of their ability for this event. So there's a lot of respect there.
Yeah, cool. That's very Dino.
Yeah, which is great. I mean,
He was a terrible touch rugby player.
I have heard this before.
He was a shocker. He'll, yeah, like, you know, I did a lot of refereeing. Yeah. And
do you know how to play rugby?
I played a bit, but my forte was honest refereeing, like being a good honest. And
I love it.
You know, Dean will argue this, but I was voted for 11 years in a row referee of the year. And
hey, that's a claim. Yeah,
no, it's pretty
that's up there with winning two cups.
No, it's probably actually higher. But hey, Dean wasn't a good rugby player.
Good to know. One thing I do want to point out is, and I honestly cannot for the life of me remember which yacht club we were at, where we were. No, we were a Toyota store. Somewhere in this country, and we met Hamish Bond's parents.
No way.
Hamish Bond's parents were there. And
no,
it was awesome being able to chat with them, going, you must be so proud of your rower who's now an America's Cup sailor. And they're like, we can't believe this. We can't believe that he's been able to transition from medals in rowing to now sailing. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 police cars. We're definitely
but
on those, the road.
But the cyclists, look, you know, they join a pretty elite bunch of America's Cup sailors, and we welcome them with open arms.
Your mate Rob Waddell?
Rob Waddell. You know, what's Rob Waddell done? He's done so much for sport since, you know, his Olympics and his yachting. And his yachting, you know, his yachting commitment is unbelievable. For a guy, those cup boats, you did need to know as a grinder, you did have a lot of awareness about how the mechanics worked. And Rob learned it very quickly.
Some very cool stories. And I reckon that we could probably keep chatting for hours and hours and hours. But we are very close to having to disembark from our Toyota Hybrid Hilux and head to Warkworth School, where they're very excited to see us. So we're almost there. But hey, Joey, or as you are now famously known, Jibe Mark Joey.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. It's great to sit beside you in the passenger seat and direct your driving.
Wasn't it good not having Barbara banging on? It was good.
How often did we talk about winging or windsurfing?
Actually, we didn't.
We really didn't. And that's okay.
Yeah, don't worry, we'll get plenty of that.
And Darcy didn't interrupt us
either. Yeah. Talk about his Andy fridge.
Oh my God, Tony Mutter. He was talking about his fridge and his dishwasher and his washing machine. But massive thanks to Andu for sponsoring Bird's Eye View, the Live, Sail, Die podcast. I love the fact that I can sort of just pop in for these little appearances. But a massive thanks to Darcy Watergrave, Barbara Kendall, and Jibe Mark Joey here, Joey Allen, for pushing through and leading the charge on our podcasts. We're back in the studio next week with some more exciting guests still to be confirmed, but they're going to be exciting. Massive thanks as well to Toyota New Zealand for helping us make the Toyota Kiwi Cup tour, regatta, and this whole thing possible. As a young sailor growing up in Australia, for me, I never thought that I would be able to be involved in the America's Cup. Being able to be a part of a team, taking the cup around the entire country of New Zealand for 2.5 weeks has been an absolute privilege and an honour. Joey, thank you for being here. Thank you for your excellent yet interesting driving skills. Thank you for making our Toyota Hilux smell like a frickin' sewer.
I can lock the windows, remember that?
I know you can. We'll be back for more fun on Bird's Eye View. I'm Sue Ellen.
I'm Joey.
Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we will catch you on the flip side. Two hands on the wheel.
All good?
Happy with that?
Are you?
48 minutes.
How long does it need to be? Is that too long?
No, it was great.
Will you cut much out of that?
No. Do you think I need to?
No. No. If I'm waffling, just chop it out.
No, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Were those good stories?
They were great stories. Did I waffle on too
No,
much?
Not at all. No. There was a good balance. Yeah. Here I'll give go. You this. Before I finish.
Brilliant.